1 o'clock hour here on a Wednesday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. During the break, just trying to like inhale the taco bar from downstairs. Did you get some, Drew, finally? Did you go down there?
I did.
There's a Halloween party happening in the building today.
I don't think anybody
from our station dressed up.
I kind of feel like a jerk. One of us should have done it.
Nobody from the station. I think I saw KMBZ. Some people over there were. Obviously saw some of our office staff, et cetera.
A lot of them were dressed up.
We're dressed up, but they had a party. The food, we went down and got some food during the break, though, you know?
Good food.
Scarfing down some queso and chips.
From the 913, I asked my buddy, who's a diehard Chiefs fan, and Sculpts for a living, if he could do a Spags bus for $10,000. His response, quote,
that I could
If you missed it earlier in the show, Cody wants to make a bust of Steve Spagnuolo.
To give to the Chiefs, because he deserves it, you know? I want a personalized bust made of Steve Spagnuolo to give to the Chiefs so they don't have to worry about how to immortalize him going forward. An all-time great.
I think he's
going to
be
for this team.
He's going to be in the Ring of Honor, and I still hope one day he gets a bust in Canton, Ohio, as the first coordinator to ever do it. He's going to have that kind of resume.
This could be the first bust, the lead-up. This one, I want to have the red eyes on it, though. So we got to paint those on.
Paint it, or can they not be like red marbles? Like red marbles?
Oh, maybe like inset with a I originally was like rubies or something.
Yeah,
that would be a little expensive.
Jostens, let's get him on board.
I'll put if your company is willing to pay for the entire bus to be made, so I don't have to ask for $9.65 from 1,000 people. I'll put your name right on the thing. I'll get this thing commissioned, and you can put whichever you know. It can say.
Yeah,
Volkswagen Lee Summit right on. I got no complaints.
This is one of those where if it's paid for just like that, but if it involves for days and weeks pushing for $9.65 from listeners, I don't think that is a good use of time / listener money.
Interesting. I think it'd only take us a week. I think this show could get $10,000 for a bust for Steve Spagnuolo in a week.
Multiple people have said they would donate if you would pay off your original bets and if you sell the Amazon pallet from last
year.
Okay,
I'll start selling that tonight. That's fine.
Hold on.
Part's easy.
If you knew that you could get the money, would you go to the strip club this week?
I guarantee. I tell you right now, not even kidding. I'd go. If you guaranteed me the money, I'd go this week. I'd go Friday night.
$10,000.
Or we could take the bust out to the strip club for the first time before we give it to the Chiefs.
I don't think Spags would want that. Give me glitter. Give me glitter on it.
Because I want him to have it. I don't want this to end up as a future Cody and Gold garage. I want this to belong to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I can imagine the Chiefs PR staff being like, okay, and you want us to give this to him? Okay.
They
wait for media availability. Ask somebody who works at this station
just
to go.
Set it up at the podium. Just like, here's Spags.
That would be funny.
It's a real bronze, Spags. The guys over it. We would have sent you think like one of the other shows? You think like Dusty would go to Spags Presser for us or something? Like, so you and I could be on this show. Do you think that, Spag or Dusty?
You're saying Dusty would present it.
Yeah.
To Spags.
Yeah. Do you think that like somebody else from the station would be willing to present the
Dusty
bronze
would be
bust?
The only other person that would be willing to do that, I think.
You don't think Spag could do it?
I think Dusty would do it.
You think Nate Taylor would do it? He's too professional. We can't be putting Nate in that spot. That's a professional. That's a professionally covered team.
He's a real journalist.
We can't he's like closer to a real journalist than us.
Totally unexpected. I would love to see the faces on all the reporters and everything. Like, what is going on right now?
I just
if it had laser eyes, you put laser pointers in there.
I truly though on this point, I really don't get the payoff.
The appeal.
I don't get the payoff. Like the Creed is a good thing. I get it. We had a social media video. It lives on forever, etc. I don't get the point of spending time to raise $10,000 for a bus just so for that 5 seconds you can hand it to them and we'll never hear about it again.
This is Cody wanting to give Spags a gift.
Yes,
that's what.
Why don't you get him a gift on your own? Go get your own gift.
Well, I don't have $10,000.
Well, sorry.
All I want is $9.65 from you.
I want to give a gift to a lot of. I want to buy a brand new car. It doesn't mean I can go buy a Ferrari. I don't have the money. I can't buy it. You don't have the money for the bus. You can't buy the bus.
I think there's other people who'd like to give Spags a gift. Maybe not you, but the rest of us.
No, it is.
A lot of people over in the text line saying $9.65. Although one person complaining that inflation's getting us. Sorry, man.
Well, we
were 6'10". We were 6'10". Now we're 96.5.
Yeah,
donation went up.
We did acknowledge when we moved to 96.5 that $6.10 heroes were gone and they became $9.65 heroes. I just don't think this is the. We don't need the heroes for this. Is all I'm saying. Save the heroes for a bigger cause, a better cause.
I don't have any other causes.
It'll come at some point down the road.
The car comparison is hilarious because that for what Gold said, that's like if Gold wanted a Ferrari and said, "Hey guys, donate me money so I can go and get a Ferrari. I might give you a ride.
I might give you a ride in it. I'm not going to own it. That's at the end. Gold owns the Ferrari. At the end of this, I don't own a bronze bust of Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs or Steve Spagnuolo.
I want a Lambo. Help me out a little bit. Yeah,
different.
That's very funny.
Different. Real split.
I think you could find 1,000 people though in this city somewhere that would actually be willing to do that.
I guarantee you, we could find 1,000 people to give up $10.
I agree.
Guarantee you. I'll make it like a maybe.
What a waste of money if we raise. Let's be real. If we raise $10,000, if we raise $10,000, what a waste of money. There's so many better causes.
That can't be your stance if we raise
so many better causes. How about we $9.65? We raised $15,000 for the museum for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum last year.
We now do that every year.
Sure, and we're gonna do it again in the spring or summer. But now you want to raise $10,000 just to give a bust to Steve Spagnuolo? It seems like poor use of funds. Mm.
If Spag says he doesn't want it, does that make it?
That would hurt my feelings.
He's not going to say he doesn't want it. Well, he'd just be like, thanks.
Someone says I get hit with a restraining order if I try to present it to him.
Yeah. Anyway.
We'll see. I think that let's get back to the Chiefs for a minute.
Please.
We'll step away from the defense for a second and talk about Mahomes. This season, and I guess this is the question I'd ask you, 913-586-7965. How will this season shape your opinion of Patrick Mahomes? Because I have been more impressed than I was expecting when I go back and look at what he's done this season. I know you're going to be like, he has more interceptions than touchdowns. I get it. I really do. He has spent 90% of this season without his number one wide receiver, his number two wide receiver, and his number two running back. I understand he's got a defense that Spags obviously leads that is getting him to the point that they can afford some of these lower point efforts. But to be 7-0, as Matt Verderam pointed out, be second in the NFL in third down percentage, be fourth in the NFL at converting any set of downs into positive yardage, to be third in the NFL in moving the ball from the 20 to 20, to be a top 10 offense, ninth in points per game, doing that with a questionable tackle situation and all of your initial thought weapons gone. I'm blown away that he's able to play this well. The interceptions are the only real complaint I have about Patrick Mahomes' season. If he had 8 touchdowns, which is still a low number for the number of games he's played, and there were only 4 interceptions, I'd be telling you he is the rightful MVP favorite, even without the passing touchdown number. That's how impressed I've been by Mahomes.
Yeah, they're the last 2 weeks in particular, the moments where I think the plays with his legs that have been so impressive, like the true winning plays, winning moments, got to have it. First downs, fourth and goal, touchdown against the Niners a couple weeks ago. Of course, some big conversions against the Raiders out in Vegas this past weekend. That to me is the sideline why there should be zero worry about Mahomes or anything like that, is because he is making the plays when you have to have them. And ultimately, that's all you want from your quarterback. Got to have him plays, got to have him downs. Is my guy making the plays? And he is, right?
Correct.
So doesn't mean that mistakes haven't been happening, and it's been frustrating at times, but it's brutal to watch some of these other quarterback play in the league when, like, nobody's ever tried to compare these two names I'm about to mention, but just my point is watching, and I don't know how these other fans do it. Like, I was the Giants game the other night. Like, Daniel Jones, gotta have it plays, and you're just like, oh gosh.
Just forget what's happening.
How do you do that? Like, and so obviously one quarterback is just a million times better, but
even the great quarterbacks, they don't do it the way he does it consistently.
Like, gotta have it, runs, you know, pull a throw out of your rear kind of stuff. Like, I don't, you know, that stuff he's still doing. So that's why I'm not as worried and I don't care necessarily. The only part that annoys me is just because the numbers aren't there. People are lazy and they're like, well, he's not been good this year. I'm not telling you he's had
his
best.
Take,
I'm not saying he's had his best season by any means. No. But they're 7-0. And in the last two games when they had to have plays, he delivered. And that's all I'm ever going to ask for. He's probably not going to ever throw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards again. Okay, that's probably not happening. Sorry, it's not 2018 like, again.
The reason why I brought this up, Scott Kaxmar put out the stat, and this is what stood out to me, is that Patrick Mahomes played 3 games this season without his number one or number two wide receiver. And that's Tom Brady in his entire career. 381 starts. Only had that happen to him twice. Now, for portions of the season, Gronk was probably his number one weapon, right? And he definitely had some games without Gronk versus Patrick Mahomes had very few games without Travis Kelce. But number one and number two wide receivers, 2 games in his entire NFL career where he didn't have both of those guys on the field. Stafford has 4 this year because of Puka and Cooper Kupp, who can't stay healthy. And Stafford is still a top 5 quarterback, in my opinion. I think he probably always was. He was just with Detroit, so he didn't want to admit it. And Patrick Mahomes has 3 this year. There's a lot. There's a lot to be accomplished in what you're doing outside of this. The winning's the most impressive thing. Yeah, I get it. The stats don't line up. And they're still 23rd, I think, in red zone touchdown percentage. But that seems to also be getting cured, at least here as of late. As you mentioned, and I think Verderam did too, I think they're 7 of the last 9 in the red zone over the last 2 games. They're putting the ball in the end zone a lot lately. I think DeAndre Hopkins helps that. I think running the ball near the red zone helps that. All those things matter, but I'm not going to walk away from this season being like, oh, you know, maybe Mahomes can't do it without weapons. Do what? Win?
Well, we just saw last year. That's why that sentence, that ended last year. I mean,
yeah.
they went and won a Super Bowl with the wide receiver room that they had. And so if they were to get D-Hop and Juju healthy at the same time, and you take a look at the room that hopefully gets Hollywood Brown maybe in the playoffs, like there's
that, maybe, that but even without that, it's better than it was.
Yeah, I mean, Rashee Rice, of course, was great for them in the postseason last year. Had to be, and we know he's not coming back. But if Travis Kelce's healthy come divisional round of the playoffs and you have a healthy Juju and a healthy D-Hop with what I think Hopkins will do for this team, and they have Pacheco with Kareem Hunt mixed in, then they're actually better prepared offensively in the postseason than they were a year ago.
Yes.
If that aligns, and we'll see if it does.
I think that all depends on like what level of DeAndre Hopkins you're getting. But I'll just tell you, 2-3-4 is already better than last year going into the postseason. It's the apples to apples of does DeAndre get close enough to what that used to be in order to accomplish that. That would kind of make the shift for me. And once you're sure about that, then you're probably okay.
Look, we're always open to ideas. Some are better than others, right, Cody? But when it comes
this
to
one's
ideas,
a great one.
When it comes
it's to a great idea.
When it comes to changing sports, ideas can be a little wonky and some of them can fail. The NFL's trying different things. How about in basketball? It's been a little bit since we've seen some rule changes at the NBA level to the extent that Joe Mazzulla maybe wants. He's the head coach, for those that don't know, of the Boston Celtics, the NBA champion Celtics, are going for a back-to-back campaign. He, remember, just over a year ago, some people after the failure in the playoffs were wondering if he was going to get fired. That's how bad it went. And then you wait a year and now he's a hero and everybody loves him in Boston for now. But Joe Mazzulla was asked on a show there, I think it was the NBC Sports Network affiliate there in Boston, his thoughts on changing the NBA. Like, what's one thing he would change? And I thought his answer was interesting.
Yeah, like basketball is one of the only sports that doesn't have a power play. And I think soccer just put in the blue card where a guy has to go off and it's 10-on-9. And so, like, we should have a power play where, like, you know, because let's say you get a technical or let's say you get a take foul, you get the one shot, but you're not really rewarded for that, because if you miss it, you don't get the reward for the take foul. You know what I mean? So there should be like a power play where on a take foul, on a technical, you have to play 5-on-4 for 5 seconds or 3 passes.
Or charge. Or what about for an entire possession? You know, what if for the entire possession is 5-on-4? Yeah.
I mean, that might be a little extreme, but I think we should institute power plays where instead of taking the ball out on the side, you commit a foul, the guy goes to the other side of half court, and he can't leave the half court circle until like 3 seconds.
Oh, I love this.
The biggest thing that we rob people of from an entertainment standpoint is you can't fight anymore. We should just bring back like fighting. What's more, I mean, you want to talk about robbing the league of entertainment. What's more entertaining than a little scuffle?
So that was Joe Mazzulla. Now, look, in fairness, he was asked the question. He didn't just come up with this out of nowhere.
But he gave us a dumbass answer.
He was asked the
Nobody
question.
Nobody made him answer that way.
Yeah, he was asked the question. The power play idea is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard for the NBA.
What's the point?
Oh, if the technical one free throw is not enough, okay, it's a free point. It's basically
possession
point
of the ball.
It's a free point potentially. You want the 5 second power play. Also, if you were to do that, it would need to be a possession. Oh, for 5 seconds, they're down a man. How? I mean, that's insane.
It's dumb.
Also, a power play. All that would happen is they would just pull up and shoot a three like they do now. Like they would just pull up and try to shoot a three. They would not actually take the free 2 points. They would try to shoot the wide open three, right? Isn't that what would happen 90% of the time?
No wonder this guy almost got fired. He didn't even seemingly understand that there was a benefit. He's like, you know, like when they make a penalty, there's no punishment in the NBA. I'm like, yes, there is. They're called free throws. They've existed for a very long time in this sport. I'm not sure how you've missed that one. If anything, the NBA, the one rule change, they should be trying to make 3 points harder. Like if they want to bring more action back to it, they should make the court wider and bring the 3-point line back and enforce more action.
Make it deeper.
Yeah, that's all.
I do think
power play is stupid.
The whole fighting thing is
fighting. I'm pro. I'm actually pro.
No, that is egregiously dumb. Because
I'm pro fighting.
The malice in the palace. All of a sudden, you think Yankees fans are bad. You're gonna have this happening again.
But I want fights against players, not with fans. Mm-hmm. I don't want fans to be able to fight.
I thought Mad Dog brought up a good point today. Mad Dog said, "How about Joe Mazzulla call Rudy Tomjanovich, who damn near got killed because he got punched in the face, and he almost died." On the floor. So there's the physicality. I think there needs to be more physicality in the game. Like now, I guess the 90s is like the end of the spectrum, but you bring back some of that physicality where it's not as touch and go regarding fouls, reintroduce some of that, but fighting is a little wild where, you know, people are throwing the ball at Shaq and Charles Barkley is getting into scuffles. MJ's fighting Reggie Miller. It would be entertaining.
Yeah, look, I think we don't cover the Celtics, so I don't know how Joe Mazzulla normally is in like media settings and all that.
I don't know if he was trolling either with that.
Part of me just wondered if he was just trying to have fun and joke around. I have no idea what it normally sounds like for him. I appreciate the honest answer though, even if we think it's
getting talked about today.
Ridiculous.
By a lot of people.
Yeah, I'd rather him say that than be like, oh, you know, I think our game is great the way it is. Like, he could have very easily been lazy and just said that. Yeah. Like, how would you change the game? Oh, you know, we just won a championship. I like the game the way it is. Ha, ha, ha.
Add like a 4-point line, I guess, in a way.
Like Rock and Jock, there's like a 10-point line?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I don't want this sport to be a gimmick. Gimmicks are fun. What do you think? The Savannah Bananas sell out their thing because nobody likes a gimmick?
But they know it's a gimmick.
This is the NBA, though.
They know it's a gimmick. They're the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
Gimmicks are fun.
The Savannah Bananas is going to sell at Kauffman Stadium. You see that? They're,
somebody said make dunks worth 3 points. No, please.
Oh, that's...
If you make a shot from beyond half court, fine. Maybe it's 4 points.
It's 3 points if you posterize someone. If you dunk on top of their head.
You thought reviews were bad in basketball, Cody. Just wait until, let's see if this angle was. Let's see, was he really postered or was he just on the side of him?
I do miss kind of the physicality of the sport where like in hockey or in basketball or in baseball, like the viscera, it made it easier to hate the other team when they did play. Like they've taken some of the physical part of sports out where it's just like, if you're fast, then things will, you know, like, but outside of that, it's like, no, I like some of the, like, you know I told Vinny Pasquantino a couple of times I wanted them to get in a brawl. I didn't want them to get in a brawl. Not all the time, but a little scuffle or dust up every once in a while.
Even now with hockey, like, they don't have as much fighting. Like, fighting has been discouraged by them, and the pace of play has picked up where there's now more goals, less fighting, less physicality. Yeah. In a way, I guess the NBA is kind of in that direction where there's more points scored than ever, less physicality.
Yeah, old school.
I like
hockey
that they started punishing flopping.
Old school hockey fans probably wouldn't like it, but as someone who's watched more hockey recently than ever, just because, I guess, I enjoy the fact that there's more scoring in the NHL.
Very entertaining hockey is now. I mean, there's games like the over-unders are like 8.5 for some games, or 7.5.
I've gotten to more hockey games in the last 10 months than I ever had in my life. For NHL games, that is.
Two.
Yeah. Exactly.
I guess maybe we should all get to a Mavericks game. Do you think? Hey, so next week we talk about class. UMKC's opening game is Monday night, 6:00 at Swinney Rec.
Against? Is there a real game or exhibition? I don't want to go to an exhibition.
Well, okay. I think it's a real game.
The real game started on Monday.
On Monday.
On the 4th.
So the question I guess I have is, do I need to let my students out early so they can go to that game? Do they even care to go?
I think you should encourage it, but if... You think I should encourage?
I think
you should still have class.
They're playing HLGU.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay, no, don't. That's why.
And then they're playing KCC. Then they play Creighton, Iowa State.
So I don't need it in class early for HL. Who? What was it? Who are they playing again?
I'm assuming
that's got to be like a Sisters for the Blind thing, right?
HLGU.
I'm assuming they don't host
Hannibal LaGrange University.
That sounds like a D3 school.
And then they play Kansas Christian after that. Hannibal LaGrange.
I'm guessing they don't host Creighton or Iowa State. They're on the road, I'm assuming, for that.
I would assume so.
Hannibal, Missouri, by the way, is where that school is located.
Oh, okay. I mean, that makes sense, I guess.
Private nonprofit school in Hannibal, Missouri. They are the Trojans.
Okay.
Oh.
Never heard of them.
Shout out to them, I guess.
UMKC's going to win by 50.
Cody, are you going to bet the spread in the Iowa State game? They're facing the number 5 Iowa State Cyclones in that game, November 11th.
They got a look ahead line. What's the look ahead line on it?
I don't think that's going to exist. Yeah.
Do you want to? I mean, the next home game that they play that's against a quote unquote legitimate opponent is Albany, November 23rd.
I might go to that one.
That's a 1 p.m.
Remember,
game.
We're all going to choose a UMKC game. We're going to get to some Ruse basketball this year.
That's the plan.
We don't know which one yet, but we're going to be there.
Just not the Hannibal LaGrange University.
I don't want to watch him play Hannibal.
Are you going to bet against UMKC Gold like you did for Denver in that one game?
Oh, yeah.
That was funny. Well, they probably can't even bet on this Hannibal LaGrange game, so I don't know.
Oh, I just mean whatever game we go to.
Probably.
Why would you bet against him?
No, not against him. I'll bet on the game.
Oh, I see.
No, I know. Depends on what the line
is. We're going to be in the UMKC student section with Gold wearing the colors of the other team.
Yeah.
He's wearing Hannibal LaGrange attire.
Remember, like, a lot of times you put bet the number, not the team, per se. There's key number. Bet the number, not the team.
Anyway. We're not talking about that for UMKC. This is with our hearts.
Someone says, Cody, your students, now you're going to let them class out of class every week.
I asked.
This week for class, they didn't even go to class. They came here.
It's true. But that's also important. They have to see how it's really actually done. Mm-hmm. Every class does that. That's just normal. Mm-hmm. You never went on a single tour of a radio station or a sports facility? Really?
No.
Man, it's just how they do the old UMKC.
No. We had a student radio station like on campus that we just did stuff with, but like we didn't go and tour a real TV station.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway, go ahead.
I did that like several times.
Yeah.
I think we I don't know if we...
Like as a student.
Yeah.
I don't know if we toured, but obviously with internships, I mean, you're there in that building. Like you were just encouraged to intern, so you could experience that.
My students do want out of class early every week. That is accurate, though.
Do they actually ask you?
No.
Okay.
One kid asked me to bring some baked goods in. So I'm gonna bring.
Are you?
What would I make? The first request was croissants.
Make some of those pizzas.
I said, I'm not croissants.
Somebody asked for croissants?
So that's laminated dough. That'll take me all day. Not croissants. Choose something else. That's too big of an ask.
Cookies.
Just make them like
some muffins.
Make them the giant Reese's peanut butter cup thing again.
But with no green onion.
No green onion, please. Just make that instead.
That was good. There's just no way this person at the top of the text line saying they're a Hannibal LaGrange.
Yeah, that's very doubtful.
Oh, I believe him, actually.
I
believe Hannibal, Missouri. I believe him. I definitely do. All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending and then back into what one national columnist is saying about the future of Andy Reid.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. What's trending at top of the list, of course, is Game 5 of the World Series tonight in the Bronx. Yankees trying to get this thing back to L.A. and make it 3-2. They avoided the sweep. That was the first task. Gerrit Cole gets the nod tonight. Freddie Freeman will try to make it 7 straight games with a home run in the World Series, going back to the 2021, I guess, or something, when he was in the World Series as well. Just a remarkable run. And I think part of the storyline, too, will just be if there's any close plays up against the wall, up against some fans, we'll see if anybody else wants to make an idiot out of themselves like the Yankees fans did last night. That reportedly, Major League Baseball has told the Yankees not to allow back in the game.
Actually, 30 minutes ago, the New York Yankees said they will not be allowed back in.
Because Major League Baseball told them not to.
Sounds like a one-game ban, certainly. It didn't make it sound like that they're just never going to be able to own their season tickets ever again, but the Yankees did tell them they can't come. Next up on What's Trending, KU and Kansas State. Well, that exhibition games last night, Kansas 84-53 winner over Washburn. Zeke Mayo with 16, David Coit with 19, Kansas State 70-56 over Fort Hays State. Brendan Housen, their leading scorer with 15 points.
Next up on What's Trending, we know in 2026, the World Cup, of course, one of the sites right here in Kansas City. Some other soccer news, the 2025 Gold Cup final was awarded to Houston. Owners, why I bring that up is that would be the year before the World Cup. And so the dream scenario for anybody that's trying to grow the game would be that you could get a Mexico-U.S. CONCACAF, or excuse me, U.S.
World Cup,
Gold Cup final.
Or Gold Cup, sorry.
Yeah. The year right before the World Cup, which would create some more momentum for soccer in this country. But yeah, I mean,
January's not that long from now. Like, we're going to be inside about a year and a half here pretty soon before we know it from the World Cup.
Thank God we've got the women's soccer team because they've been great, obviously, for decades.
We'll see what the men can do. Obviously, new head coach and everything.
Yeah, that could change things. We'll see. Change the math on it. Next up on What's Trending, according to Ian Rappaport, local reporters on the scene, no Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson seen at practice today. Apparently showed a little discomfort after the game, maybe in the groin area.
Groin discomfort?
Yeah.
You have any groin discomfort?
Currently, no.
Good.
And no Lions quarterback Jared Goff at practice either. So two starting quarterbacks who were not at practice on Wednesday. Doesn't mean they wouldn't play. You know this works. Thursday or Friday, the more important days. But at least as of today, no Lamar Jackson, no Jared Goff spotted by the local reporters at practice.
I feel like this is the time. We've said it when we talk about the Ravens, how Lamar's playing great, but we haven't got to the point in November, which is when usually
he
either gets sick or some random thing happens. And unfortunately, it seems like maybe this is that time for Lamar. We'll see. It's early enough in the week where, I don't think it's like a definitive, oh, he's not going to play kind of thing, but definitely something to keep an eye on, specifically with the Ravens, given the fact they're an AFC team. Next up on What's Trending, Jeff Passan reporting that Will Venable will be named the next White Sox manager. If so, he would become the 44th manager in White Sox history. Venable, just 42 years old.
Baseball manager's fine. Just get someone young who believes in analytics.
Steven Vogt in Cleveland worked out pretty good.
Yeah,
obviously, Matt Quatrero working out here in Kansas City.
Get someone young enough and believes in analytics. It's the only two things that matter for you.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Someone said Yankees or Dodgers. Who are you picking? Well,
I want the Dodgers to win.
Completely anti-Yankees, more so than ever after last night's fans made fools of themselves. Not even close. I mentioned we were going to talk about a piece from Jeremy Fowler in regards to Andy Reid and his future. I forgot we had Ross Tucker on the show a little bit earlier, so I want to make sure we bring some of that. So tomorrow on the show, we'll probably talk about Jeremy Fowler's column. Just a heads up if you're wondering. So I know I mentioned that, but we forgot during the break. We've got Ross Tucker, who joined us earlier today, our Odyssey NFL insider. And we started our conversation asking him about what happened at the baseball game because he's a former player. I want to know if he had any fan interaction quite like what we just saw at the baseball game yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because people need to realize we get to the point, and this is going to sound bad, but I feel like every once in a while, we need the fans to be reminded that the guys that are down in that field, that they actually can come up into the field and they can do harm to you. I feel like people totally lose sight of this sometimes. Just the way I see fans treating players, treating coaches, treating officials, I just don't understand it. I mean, no matter how mad or upset or disappointed I would be with my favorite team, it would never rise to that level of thinking I should get that mad or get that involved. Even in that instance, the thing I didn't like about what the Yankees fans did, they were like twisting his hand
and
the glove to try to rip the ball. What if Mookie Betts got injured? You know, like what if there was an issue there? I'm just not a fan of the fans getting involved in anyone. I'm trying to think, there was another situation recently. I can't remember exactly what it was, but made me think, man, that person's real lucky that whoever the player was or coach was involved didn't actually come over and do something.
Like, I mean, I imagine, Ross, sometimes, though, like any of us are human beings, it's got to be really difficult to try to ignore it. Like Tyreek Stevenson, right? We're going to talk about how he did not get to his job on time as a result of barking at the fans. But, man, I'll be honest. I'm sure sometimes it's hard to ignore. I don't know what they were saying. They could have been talking about his mom, his play. You know, like, who knows what they were bringing up to Tyreek Stevenson.
Yeah, so a couple things here. First of all, where he was on the field, he can't really hear what anybody's saying. He was just taunting them because the Bears were going to win, okay? And by the way, the irony of that is that if he just kept taunting the whole play, the Bears probably do win because he's the guy that went over and tipped the ball up in the air to Noah Brown. He's the one that had the bad play that caused the issue. So it's like the Bears are better off if it was 10 guys on the field and Stevenson just kept taunting the Commanders fans and didn't go over there because he ran over there tipped it up right to Noah Brown. Unbelievable. But the other thing I would say about that, like, to me, I remember sometimes I would initiate it. Like, we played in 04, was it the Buffalo Bills, at the Raiders at the old Oakland Alameda Coliseum. And I heard so much about the black hole growing up and the black hole and the black hole. And I'm there and I'm like, you know what? This might be my only time ever playing in the black hole. So we ran out for pregame warm-ups, guys. And, of course, they make you warm up or whatever at the end where the black hole is. I went, like, 4 feet away from the black hole, like, just far enough that they couldn't touch me. And I was like, is this it? Is this all you guys got? And they all started grabbing for me and yelling, and they were trying to reach for me. I'm like, is this all you guys got? Like, I wanted the full experience. I wanted the full black hole experience.
We're talking to Ross Tucker here on Cody and Gold. Now, I want to get your perspective also as a player when you see a teammate say he's too tired to finish a play. I'm talking about Anthony Richardson, of course, after he admitted after their game that he was tired. He basically tapped himself out. And then since then, we now know that Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback. And Shane Steichen just clarified that Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback going forward. This is not a one-game experiment.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to say here, right? Let's start with Anthony Richardson taking himself out of the game for a play. First of all, let's start with just his conditioning being so bad that after one lengthy play where he scrambles or whatever, he needed to come out of the game, or he felt like he needed to come out of the game. I mean, Mahomes does that a decent amount. Have you ever seen Lamar Jackson play? I don't know how he plays the next snap sometimes. Or Kyler Murray? Those guys do that like 10 times a game. So, number one, I'd be very concerned that his conditioning is that poor that he felt like he needed to come out. Number two is that he actually did it. He actually did it. Not only his conditioning was that bad, he actually tapped his helmet and came out for a play. A third down in the third quarter in Texans territory. Because here's the thing, if you're the coach, how do you know he doesn't do it again? But my favorite part of it is that after the game, when he was asked about it, he didn't even realize, number one, that it was a bad thing to do, or number two, that he should lie about it. He's like, yeah, I was tired, so I just thought I need to rest for a play. Like, what? I've never heard of a quarterback doing that in the sport of football at any level in my entire life. And he had no clue. Like, he didn't get it. He just comes across, I guess, as a really young, innocent, ignorant kid that just didn't realize what he had done. But if you're Steichen, you have to stand up in front of 100 people every day, right? The coaches, the players, the practice squad guys, the guys on IR, and they know who gives them the best chance to win. And they know you know who gives them the best chance to win. So it's a super bad look for Steichen to go with Richardson when everybody knows that Flacco gives him the best chance to win. And so he's making the right decision here, especially, you know, Richardson taking himself out for a play. That kind of gave Steichen the out to do this, which is probably what he wanted to do anyway, to get Flacco back in there. And I don't think it's like the end of the world. Flacco plays great. They make the playoffs. Awesome. Flacco plays like crap. Okay, put Richardson back in. Flacco plays okay, and they're in the mix. I guess keep them in until they're not in the mix anymore. It's, you know, you guys, Patrick Mahomes sat for a whole year. You know, guys like Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers have sat for 3 years. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if Anthony Richardson sits and watches what Flacco does for a while.
I think the only problem is you've got to be conscious and make those decisions early. The mistake these teams are making is everyone said Anthony Richardson was a project, and then they didn't treat him like that, Ross. They're like, he's a project quarterback. Just go ahead and start there, kids. You're like, but that doesn't make sense. Should have sat him from the beginning. The second you bench him, you've waved the flag, in my opinion. You've told everyone in football you've given up on the kid. Like, it's never going to work in Indianapolis with Richardson. The only time I can remember maybe where a quarterback got benched for somebody else and it worked was Eli.
Yeah, I mean, so here's what I would say. When and who decides which quarterbacks are better off sitting and which quarterbacks need to play?
I mean, that's why the GMs get paid a lot of money, I guess. That, if the ownership gets involved, it's a problem, Ross.
But who decides that and based on what? Like, I hear these people saying, you know, Drake May really needs to sit and watch, but he started every game for North Carolina for 2 years.
Yeah.
Then they said, that's what they were saying earlier in the year, but they said Anthony Richardson, who started 10 games at Florida, he needs to play. Like, what do you, I'm thoroughly confused. So a guy that started every game for 2 years needs to sit and watch for a while because he's not ready. But a guy that only started 10 games, he needs to play? Shouldn't Drake May have been more ready than Anthony Richardson? And should Drake May have played before? Like, I don't understand any of the logic. People just make this stuff up. I'm convinced, based on whatever the situation is with their team. What it really comes down to is if you have a good quarterback already, like Alex Smith, you say, you know, he'll be best served by watching. If you don't have a good quarterback, if your other quarterback stinks, you're like, he really needs to learn by playing. That's what it comes down to.
I think that's right. As we're talking to Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, we know the Chiefs are 7-0. Cody and I just got done going through a little bit of the past couple weeks, and I think on the surface, people probably don't realize it, but going back to week 4 against the Chargers, the Chiefs have won every game by 7 or more points. Like, they're not winning, they're not barely winning these games. By NFL standards, you're winning by 7 plus. That's a pretty good margin.
Yeah, they're the best team, and they're going to be number one in the Ross Tucker Football Podcast Power Rankings.
Good.
Until they lose probably multiple games at this point, and they're still trying to get better, bringing in DeAndre Hopkins, bringing in Josh Uche. I love that Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Clark Hunt, to some extent, realize that they have a unique opportunity at football mortality. Right, like they already checked the dynasty box. Now they have a chance to check doing something that's never been done before box and being talked about forever all the time box, and they're going for it. And I love it, and they should. What's the worst thing that can happen? You trade late-round picks for Uche and Hopkins, and you don't win the whole thing? Nobody's going to say it's bad. Nobody's going to be mad at you for doing that.
No. What did you think of DeAndre Hopkins in his first one, though? We were kind of impressed. I thought the way we viewed it, Ross, was that looked like a professional wide receiver, something that we hadn't seen a lot of this year after Rashee Rice went down.
Right. Well, that's exactly what he still is, right? You know, so much of the sport, I feel like, is football intelligence, like knowing what you're doing, having a feel for the game, and you can't have the success that Hopkins has had without having a terrific feel for the game like he does. And so, you know, even if he's not as explosive as maybe he used to be, although, you know what, it never felt to me like that's how he really won anyway. He always kind of won with his brains, with his body, and with his hands, as opposed to, like, being some super explosive guy.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL Insider. Appreciate it, man. We'll check you next Wednesday.
Sounds great. See you guys.
So that was Ross Tucker a little bit earlier on today, and our Insider call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
Well, Will Levis used to endorse.
I think he still technically got paid for it, right?
They're still paying him.
He got paid already for it. The commercials are running. It just, now they look even more ridiculous.
He's good in them. He's fun in them. He can just go be, where did he play college again?
Kentucky.
Okay, so he can go be an SEC network analyst.
I do think it would
when
be.
When his career is over. He's funny. He's got a good personality. Mm-hmm. He'll just be an SEC network analyst. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, that kind of Murray was a first round pick. Yeah, okay.
They would never do this, but a compilation of the photos of him like falling to his knees and him diving out. If they did a Mayo game day be delicious and it was just a compilation of photos fading in and out.
Well, because he did
so funny.
That with the Mayo, we had the commercial in our system at one point of the Mayo cologne or whatever.
Yeah, he did both of them.
Yogurt. There's all kinds of, I mean, again, the commercials.
He puts mayo in his coffee or whatever it was.
Yes,
right?
and he eats a banana without peeling. He eats.
That's monstrous.
He eats the peel as well.
Look.
You didn't know this?
Nothing. Oh, I mean, bananas are terrific, but.
Missing link between eating human and ape.
Like, you just.
Yes.
Just ate the whole thing raw, basically?
He eats it, including the peel.
Ugh. By the way, how do you even do that? Like, how do you do that?
I don't know. What do you snack on? You don't have a lot of stuff in your cupboard. What do you snack on if you just want, like, a snack?
Uncrustable.
Okay.
Tostitos chips.
You just keep, like, a bag at all times?
Of course. String cheese.
just like a dumpling. Goldfish?
No, I don't like No goldfish. No goldfish.
Cheerios?
No, Tostitos. Tostitos and string cheese are probably the first two. Like, just, hey, I need a quick snack.
Those
hold
are the
me
first line
dinner.
Of defense.
Yep. I would say that's definitely the answer.
String cheese is a good.
If it's the right if it's the right season, even though you can get them year round, but that's a whole other discussion because of like chemicals and stuff. But strawberries typically is another one.
Bad time of year for strawberries.
That's what I'm saying. But they're in the store year round now because we've used all these different things.
They're also like quadrupled the price, and it's not worth
correct.
It.
No, but strawberries is another great one. Like if right season. Pineapple, I would throw that in.
Just keep some fruit around, okay?
Yeah,
pineapple's great. What's the best fruit?
I about almost asked you
strawberries.
If you cut up the pineapple, and then I was like, what a hilarious thing to ask.
They're already cut up,
way.
Cody. They're already cored out for me.
It's so expensive.
They're already cored out.
Pre-cut fruit, dude. It's crazy.
I know it is, but
you don't buy pre-cut strawberries, right?
No. Okay. That's way too easy to just do on your own.
Okay, I was about to be like, come on, man.
No. You're about to lose it.
Come on.
Those also just don't taste as good. The something about the pre-cut strawberries
probably
not nearly
like
as good.
Doused them in lemon juice or something to try
but
to keep
the,
them fresh.
But the pineapple pre-cut is fun. Strawberries, pineapple. I also like a good nectarine. You know, a good nectarine.
Nectarine.
All right.
Nectarine over the peach because the nectarine like has a it's better. A little like
how about oranges.
Huh? Yeah, like
I like it. I mean,
especially those like cuties, the little small clementines.
You could just roll through like six of those at a time.
Yeah,
that's absolutely.
I might have to. You know what? I have to rob by the store, restock some either some one of these.
It's an end of show random question. Yeah. What kind of snacks do you like keeping in your house?
Yeah. I remember
we keep a cart just like full of snacks.
Yeah. Oh, for the kids.
So
because
I don't want to get
kids,
I don't get one timed every time they're like a little
makes
peckish.
Sense.
Here's it. They know where the fridge is. They know where some stuff is. Here's a giant cart full of things you can pretty much have anytime.
Was it you, Cody, who called me out for saying that watermelon is the best fruit hands down?
Mm-hmm. It's not
was,
the best fruit.
Hold on.
Best fruit. I got to be in the mood for it, but every once in a while, watermelon's
I said there might be 10 fruits better.
That tweet went nuts. Because,
it can't be the best.
No, I was away from my phone. I looked at my mentions. Matt Miller was saying, no way. And I think he said kiwi is what Matt Miller said.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I had kiwi.
That was,
kiwi's
that was
not,
a crazy
kiwi's
tweet.
Too messy to be a top-end fruit. Mm. It's kind of a pain
in the ass.
I
can't comment on kiwi. I haven't had kiwi in...
Last time you had a plum.
Been a long time on a plum.
Plum's a little messy, too. You
haven't had a plum in a
plum
forever.
Gets
a...
Yeah.
The common fruit in our house are blueberries, strawberries, this time of year, apples, pears. You know, it just kind of depends on
like
the
you're
year.
About to go like Willy Wonka on me. Like, blueberries and raspberries.
what kind of apple? Like what a...
Honeycrisp.
Honeycrisp is good.
Honeycrisp is so good.
Granny Smith. Solid.
Great. As an eating apple? Good baking apple.
Granny Smiths are good. They mess up your stomach, though. I found that out.
Do they?
Yes. It's not,
I'd rather
it's
put
not,
my
it's
face
not the
in
best
a toilet
apple.
Than eat a Red Delicious.
Because the acidity, it's not the
we'll
best.
We'll get that as
stomach.
A drop. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Cody's off tomorrow. Bink is going to Friday. Bink's going to be with me tomorrow. So I would probably mix in a little college football tomorrow on the show, I'm sure.
Smart.
Tonight, that betting show.
Let's do it.
Back live in studio, 6 to 7. We'll talk about the Chiefs line against the Bucs and what on earth is going on with the Thursday night football game. But for now, we hand things off to C-Dot and Rob on the draft.